podcast is live. It's good to be with you. Welcome to Tuesday night and our celebration of life. Tonight we're going to take on one of my favorite topics. I just finished writing the chapter of the book on this topic. It's entitled Not Even a Blade of Grass, in reference to what can be created in mental creation, so that we get very clear on how this works. We welcome all of those who are visiting with us for the first time. Great to have you with us tonight. We hope that you'll come back as we spend these evenings going through the six qualities of an intentional creator. I am getting almost giddy. I'm just putting the finishing touches on Chapter 9, which is the topic of physical creation. We may or may not get to that next week. We'll see how far we get tonight. And then we're going to take on self-esteem in the book, which kind of culminates all the things that we're talking about. And then the book is going to be ready for the editor. This has been 4 years of getting up very early in the morning and writing and coaching all day and writing into the night. And I'm working on the third version of the book. Great agent, Margaret McBride, who made the suggestion. After she saw the vision of the book, she said, we need to have you go into your personal experiences. When you were in those 10 years, lost all those millions of dollars, and you're paying back $1 million in debt, and there's some dark nights and challenges, you meet Og Mandino's material, you become the CEO of the company. Don't just tell us the principle. Tell us when the principle was learned. Where were you? What was happening? And it's been very interesting to go back in to this material at that depth and remember where I was and what was happening. And even for me, it's been some of those experiences and some of those principles and practices and processes even more poignant. Remembering in the time in which they were born. So I'm so excited to get this book out to everyone so that those who are ready to begin a new life will know where to begin. Margaret also said that if you can be, and she did not use these words, excruciatingly vulnerable. If you can be vulnerable, very, very vulnerable, it'll give everybody else permission to take a look at their lives. This won't be about me. It'll just be about me setting a stage for you to look at your life and then learn the principle in the context of where you are so that you can see how it fits and where it fits and how to use it, so that you can begin practicing the principles that will change your life. That's why it's called Intentional Creation, Og Mandino for the 21st Century. Today, I begin a new life. We have six qualities of an intentional creator. The art of connecting with people. Tonight's topic, mental creation. What do we do with our mind? Then the tangible, physical creation of our dreams. And then order and structure, discipline. Structure, finding joy in the journey, and lastly, self-esteem. So let's go right to work tonight. I have got the chapter of the book up on my computer screen. I will probably read some of these paragraphs to you tonight, and may we just sit back and have a great experience together. This chapter was the reason why I've had such passion for writing this book. This is what has kept me up late into the night and often early in the morning with very little sleep. Sometimes with just a couple hours of sleep. Ramona's smiling because she knew the last week I did this, I ended up with a little bronchial challenge. Because when your passion exceeds your physical stamina, you can actually wear out your body. But my willingness to do this, this desire, is born out of this topic because of the misunderstanding of how creation actually occurs. And a decade of watching people try to find ways to shortcut the process or avoid or escape from the work of creation and become increasingly broken and angry, bitter, frustrated, and turning inward and beating themselves up, wondering why it's not happening for them. It seems to be happening for everyone else. What's wrong with me? Why can't I have it? Why can't I have it? I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? Well, I'm going to do my very best to show you tonight how you can have it and how you can use your very vivid visualization, your mind, your creation, to actually create it. I want to build a little bit of a foundation for you. These are the opening paragraphs of this chapter, Not Even a Blade of Grass. And it reads, "From the moment I decided to ascend from the darkest, deepest, and darkest hour of my life, the basic principles of creation have become increasingly clear. The first is foundational. I was created for a purpose. What is that purpose? Is it a specific task, a given assignment, a designated career? Possibly. But I have discovered that it is so much more than this." I often reflect on the words of Robert S. Hartman, Ph.D., who created the formal axiological mathematics used in our intentional creation assessment. He writes, quote, "Unless you feel that you are of importance, nothing can be important to you. You must feel that you are important. You must take yourself seriously. If you take yourself as an accident that just as well might not have happened, if you dislike your own self, then you are lost. You are lost to the universe. You cannot enrich the world. You have been created to enrich the world." It's a scientist speaking. "Each of us has been given unique gifts and talents, has been blessed, yes, blessed with very specific experiences. Our character has been forged in the furnace of adversity. We have been uniquely prepared to fulfill our purpose. What is that purpose? We are to take the clay we've been given, the clay we've been given, what we have, and create the most we can with it." And I quote from Og, "I'm not on this earth by chance. I'm here for a purpose. And that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will apply all my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I'll strain my potential until it cries for mercy." I want you to feel this, because often we want mental creation to manifest tangible reality. If that were to happen, we would rob ourselves of all those moments when we stretch and we grow and we struggle. Yes, sometimes suffer. A joy in the pain. All those things that help us become all that we are meant to become. I go on to write, "When we bring all of us, the best of us, to the creation of anything, while being focused on enriching the world, we feel whole and complete, genuine and authentic. We are connected to and acting in partnership with the force of creation itself. We matter. Others matter. What we choose to create matters. We'll want to engage in life, embrace principles, connect with and serve others, and do so with increasing effectiveness. We want to create value everywhere we go and contribute to and enrich the world. We ought to become an intentional creator of our life, and it is here that we find joy in the journey. Otherwise, we are lost." Contrast what I just shared with a desire for ease, a place where there's no more stress and no more pain and no more frustration with time freedom and financial freedom. And we start to see the dichotomy, the divergence between intentionally creating a life and wanting to violate the very purpose for our creation. Skipping past the very things that help us become all that we're meant to be. I just want to go there and then start living out these elaborate experiences. disease doesn't exist on this planet. And it begins to create some very nasty problems for us. We start to engage in a deadly, deadly practice. It's entitled fantasy. Now, I took the time in this chapter to define it as clearly as it can be defined, I believe. It says, fantasy is defined as any time we engage our mind to escape into the future to a time when an important event has already transpired or a desired goal has been accomplished, and then live out vivid scenarios about what it'll be like then. When we engage in fantasy, we skip past the work of creation and focus solely on a favorable outcome or desired results. I had someone ask me today, is it okay there in the network marketing profession to have a goal of $100,000 a month of income? Is that okay? And I said, sure. So long as the meaning and purpose is to engage in life and embrace principles, connect with and serve people, create value everywhere you go and enrich the world. If your intention is to buy a tropical island somewhere so that we can get away from all those annoying people and tell the world to go to heck in a hat basket, that's not dreaming with meaning and purpose. We also would just want that to be manifest, that ease, that island. When we dream with meaning and purpose, in our dreaming we create the plan for actually creating the dream. So if anybody asks, I believe we've got to dream big. Hogg tells us that in Scroll 8. Want to dream really big. But here's the key. A dream and a fantasy are two different things. A fantasy we want to escape to. A dream we want to create. Everybody got that? A fantasy we want to escape to. A dream we want to create. We will know if we're fantasizing or dreaming, if we are focusing in our mind not only on the possibilities, the dream, but on all the steps between there and now, everything that's going to be required, all the millimeters of creation. We know them, and we are now executing them, passion-driven. Now we know that we're dreaming. This is a dream. If we just want to skip to it and experience it, that's a fantasy. If we don't know how we're going to get there, we just like going there, that's a fantasy. In the truest sense, dreaming is goal setting. And goal setting is dreaming. Otherwise, it is just fantasy. I think we're better at seeing possibilities than we are establishing the path for getting there. And when that's true, we most likely would just like to have that. We're really not intent on creating it. Well, tonight we're going to talk about how to create it, how to put that plan into place and make that happen. This is not an opportunity for the weak. This is not a place for those who want to escape and avoid. This is for those who want to finally get real. Now, there are plenty of people. They'll try to convince you that you can create tangible reality by visualizing. The real question is this. And we were, Ramon and I were with Kevin Hall this last weekend down in San Diego. We were speaking at his leadership retreat. It's a by invitation only event. It's a wonderful opportunity. And he introduced a concept to us, some I am statements that I just love. And he would agree with me on this in terms of these particular statements. I'll just pull them out for you from my notes. I am worthy. receive when we vividly visualize our dream. That's been the confusion. If we're in fantasy, we just want tangible reality to be manifest. We just want it. I'm worthy. Give me my piece of the pie. It doesn't work that way. And so we get discouraged, frustrated every time life shows up differently. And then we turn inwardly and beat ourselves up. We question our worth. We question our ability. We question our belief systems. What is manifest? It's very exciting because we're actually built to create. We're not built to fantasize. We fantasize. There's a drug that's released called norepinephrine. It's a counterfeit form of joy. It's very euphoric. We feel wonderful. Life shows up differently, and get that cortisol surge that just drives us into the ground emotionally. We get this roller coaster of highs and lows and highs and lows. That's what's manifest. If we are trying to get tangible reality to show up from a vivid visualization, if we just want a life of ease without stress and pain, that's what's manifest. Let's get really clear about that. That's what you get. You get norepinephrine highs and cortisol-driven lows. That's what's manifest. It's very discouraging. We find ourselves in those dark dungeons of despair and discouragement. It's very, very awful. And then we go back up and try it again, and back down again, and try it again, and back down again, until we finally wear ourselves out. It's exhausting. It's a cause of disease. Dr. Kennedy told me, and the literature supports it, one of our coaches, he said that 95% of the diseases that occur amongst his geriatric patients, that's his specialty area, 65 years old and older patients, said 95% of the disease that presents itself is a direct result of the chronic release of cortisol. This wears out the cells. Cause all kinds of immune deficiency diseases, adrenal fatigue, exacerbation of diabetes, hypertension, some forms of cancer. Literature is extensive. So if we're going to try to create tangible reality using our mind, we're setting ourselves up for misery now and illness later. Let me tell you how the body's built. When we choose to use this amazing gift of vivid visualization to go to the stage of our mind. Jack Canfield even said this in the Secret. So I was in the shower and he was thinking. He went to the stage of his mind. The force of creation, for me that's God. You can give it any name you wish, but for me that's God. We invite that force to be on, that power to be on the stage of our mind. We begin to ponder, and we get an inspired idea. He said it was a $1 million idea. Now, it wasn't just magically manifest. He then worked tirelessly to create it in tangible reality, but he got the idea. We could also get impressions and solutions to challenges. And what's so beautiful about this, when we understand the physiology of the body, that when we use our mind this way, and we're going to the stage of our mind, and our thought processes are, I want to engage in life. I want to be active. Excuse me. I want to embrace these principles. I want to connect with people. I want to run away from them. I don't want to buy a tropical island. I want to connect and serve people. I know that's where there's joy. I want to create value everywhere I go. Can you feel the intention of this visualization? I want to enrich the world. There's nothing in here about me. Everything I want is to bless the lives of others. You don't want a big home so you can hide on a hill from everyone. You want a home so it can handle a lot of guests, and you can invite people and have them participate in your abundance. Can you feel that intention? Because when we go there with that intention, and that force of creation, that power of the universe, joins us in that process, because we're now doing that power's work. That's what it's all about. And now we're saying, I want to do the same thing. Okay. Let me give you an idea. See what you do with it. Let me give you this impression. See what you do with it. Let me give you a solution to that challenge you've been working on. Wow. What we do know is when one of those moments occurs, parts of our brain light up that we normally don't use. Have you wired to a functional MRI? They're able to see it. This is something very precious that occurs in our physiology, our mind and body connection. It ignites our passion. Kevin is the word master. His book Aspire, one of the chapters is on the topic of passion, a 17th century word from the Passion Plays. A willingness to suffer for something we love. In this case, a willingness to do whatever is required. Whatever is required to create intangible reality. That which we've seen so clearly in our mind. Ring up that definition? We've had this vision of our heart, as James Allen called it in this Man Thinketh. And we are now willing to, with that inspiration, we know that's what it is. I'm just thinking back to December 30th, 2008, when I was sitting at the desk, turned around the other way, facing the other direction, and got this impression to take the 18 measurements in the external world of the assessment and assign them a length in terms of a bar. The first one was long, next one was shorter, next one was shorter, next one was shorter, then a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. When I got done, I got this strong impression to put a radius on it. Then I got a strong impression to flip it over. So there'd be two sides. And I fought that one. I thought, what is this all about? Until I flipped it over. And there was our 31-page report on one piece of paper with all kinds of symbolism that many will never fully understand but are impactful. Some of these measurements have more mathematical value than the other, and you can tell by the length of the bar. The circle in the middle represents wholeness. That's you. And when these measurements are all in balance, they support you in being whole and complete. I can tell you that that vision alone, in that 30-minute period, has sustained me through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of development and writing. I've been so willing to do whatever's required to create intangible reality, that which I was allowed to see so clearly in my mind. This is how we want to live. Because when those inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions come, it ignites our passion. Why is that critical? Because no one gets to skip the work of creation. No one. We just simply get to choose how we will do the work. We get one of two options. We skip past it in our mind and fantasize, then facing the reality of having to do it, we have to, we should, we must, even fear of consequences if we don't. And the work becomes hard and boring and repetitious and fearful. That's one option. Fantasizers don't get to skip the work of creation if they truly want to realize something substantive in their life. They have to do the work. On the other hand, the person who's used their mind constructively and has received an inspired idea and impression, part of their brain lights up, passion is ignited, and that passion drives their focus and their discipline and their effort and their action. They do the same work, But they do it because they want to. They get to. They choose to. As Og said, I will command, and I will obey my own command. They'll work tirelessly without counting the cost or tracking the time. Which way do you think is the fastest? Ugh, hard, boring, repetitious, burdensome, fearful. Ah! Wow, I can't wait. As Harvey McKay said in that call we did on the 4th with Kevin Hall, that he was talking to John Maxwell. And he said, you can't sleep fast enough, can you? That a great line? You can't sleep fast enough. We can't wait for the next day to come. We don't want to have this one end, because this is time we have to stop and rest. We don't want to rest. We want to keep building. We want to keep creating. We'll do anything to create a tangible reality, that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. Now, when we get into physical creation, then we'll know that same force of creation, that same power of the universe, that infinite intelligence I call God, shows up again, albeit very differently. This time, instead of manifesting ideas, it endows us with more ability when we fully use what we already have, and it begins putting people on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. I watched this illustration this weekend. Kevin and Ramona and I flew in on the same flight. And we were waiting for Kevin. He stopped to get his shoes polished and got the luggage, and he was coming down the elevator. Everything works exactly the way it's supposed to. There was a woman at the bottom of the elevator. I saw him walk up, give her a big hug, and we come on over to meet them. I thought she was coming to his workshop. This is somebody he'd met a couple of years ago. He hadn't seen her since. And she was coming for a totally different seminar with Miss Nichols, who was in The Secret, who happens to believe what we believe in terms of you can't just fantasize a Lamborghini into your garage. You actually have to do the work, care about the people. By the time the weekend was over, Kevin had gone over to speak to their group, and she had come over to speak to Kevin's. An amazing bonus. Watching all those pieces come together. Kevin is just always aware. It's fun to be with him, because sometimes I'm preoccupied and I know I miss some people who have been put on my path. He misses no one. He sees them all. It's an amazing thing to watch, because they truly are put on his path, and more of them and more significant ones are, because he's awake and aware. We'll get to that next week or the week after. For now, we want to focus on this creative process that gives us an inspired idea and impression. I want to share the previous with you before we get to this point, because what good does it get to have one? What good is it to have an inspired idea if we don't know what it's for and how to use it? So just know, fantasy will kill you, literally. The imagined catastrophe, those dark dungeons of despair and discouragement, are the natural consequence of fantasy. These are destructive ways of thinking. We want to think constructively. And so we're going to talk about three very quick processes to help us stay present, focused on constructive ways of thinking. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, I'll wake up in the morning, and depending on what I was dreaming about or thinking about when I went to bed, I can wake up in a different mood every day. Og says this in beginning of Scroll Night, cruelest trick of nature, that we wake up in a different mood every day. Candace Pert called them the molecules of emotion. We think, molecules are released, signals to the body, we feel. I'm feeling tired. I may not actually be tired, I'm just feeling tired because the thought process I've entertained have exhausted the cells of my body. It could be just that. But we want to give you three very quick ideas so that you can stay present and be in creation. The first one we call the tomahawk. I'm just scrolling down to this, so they're right here in front of me. The tomahawk. This is kind of a silly one. We had a client, very close client, that we bought a tomahawk for. Because she was doing this so often with her hand. Just take your left hand, form a tomahawk. You're gonna chop, 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 okay? Everything that's negative, fantasy, catastrophes over there. Just so you see it over there. So we're going to chop. Everybody do this with me. Just pull out your tomahawk. Now you might be with some people watching this. Okay, everybody's going to do it together. Just repeat after me. Not going there today. See that over there? Not going there today. You know, sometimes that road tips to the left and it's like there's ice on it. We end up in that dark dungeon. We want to get out immediately. Because the chemicals, the molecules that start to get released in our body will impact us and absolutely impair our ability to function. We want to get out as quick as we can. So stay out or get out as quick as you can. Not going there today. Now add this. I'm staying in creation. I'm staying in creation. So repeat after me. I'm not going there today. I'm staying in creation. Now, that may sound simple. Gosh, I signed up for this coaching and Dave's giving me hand signals. Well, you'd be surprised how often a day, if you are not doing this already, how helpful this will be. Because I know in my life, there are multiple times in a day when I just pause for a minute and go, whoa, 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 not going there today. I'm staying in creation. There is nothing to be gained by going into fantasy or catastrophe. Nothing. Nothing is resolved over there. The power of creation can't even go over there. It's too dark and awful. We stay here where we can be inspired and receive those ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. So not going there today. That's one. Number two, Og talks in Scroll 6 that the trees and plants depend on the weather, but yea, I make my own weather. I carry it with me. If I bring rain and gloom and doom and pessimism, my customers will buy not. But if I bring joy and enthusiasm and happiness, they will. We are our own weather condition. Now, we used to play a game. I just wrote about it in the book. We used to play a game where we'd be with corporations and we'd break into teams of six people. We would have one of them become a meteorologist. They're going to put together a weather report, very unusual weather report. It's an emotional weather report. And the meteorologist is going to talk about the different emotional weather conditions in the office in the different departments, while one of the other five actually act out that condition. We shared with them that, you know, somebody could be Dan the Sunshine Man, or Susie the Snowstorm, or Harold the High Pressure System, or Tom the Tornado. And we also told them to make these fictitious characters. We stopped playing the game because the truth is, as funny and at the same time sad it was to watch, everybody knew who they were acting out. They knew. Oh, Tom the Tornado came into accounting this morning. Totally destroyed the self-esteem of one assistant, badly damaged the self-esteem of another. That would be an example of what they would say. And some of them were very dramatic, and it was very funny. It was really not funny. We can observe other people's weather, as we did one night flying in from Cincinnati. We sat on the tarmac in Cincinnati, flew through Denver, and then we're supposed to come home. And when we finally got to Denver, it's past the curfew. No planes could take off. And we were the last plane to land, so everybody else had kind of gobbled up all the available hotel rooms. So we're sitting there frantically. I was with a film crew, and we're calling every place possible to find a room. And while we were, there was a man at the podium. Not the podium, what would you call that? The counter. I guess the counter, talking to an airline service rep. And it was a Trains, Planes, and Automobile experience. It was awful. It was embarrassing. We were embarrassed for him, as his emotional weather was absolutely a hurricane. This person leaned over next to me and said, she was kind of mimicking the voice of the airline attendant. "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't realize it was you. Let me just go around back and bring out an airplane, and I'll round up a couple pilots and some attendants, and we'll get you right home." And, you know, saying loud enough for those around us to hear, and we did laugh, because it was so sad, it was almost comical. We want to become very aware of our weather conditions, because our weather condition impacts our ability to be in mental creation. That's driving us into that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. Now, I'm going to suggest that you take a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, put a landscape, right? What is my weather condition? What is my weather condition? And put some clip art on there. Maybe a tornado or a lightning strike or sunshine. And ask yourself, put one of those by your mirror in the bathroom, in the kitchen, your office, maybe the dashboard of your car. Keep asking yourself, what is my weather condition? Who's in charge right now, me? Or those sabotaging thought processes? Because Ogg told us 40 plus years ago, something neuroscientists didn't discover till the last decade. Candace Pert was a big part of this discovery at the National Institute for Health. That we think chemicals, molecules are released into our body, we feel. We choose to think differently, different molecules are released, we feel differently. Isn't that an interesting formula? And Auger went on to say, weak is he who allows his thoughts, those negative sabotaging thoughts, to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. Not going there today. What is my weather condition? I'll give you one more, and I'll give you the third one. This third one, we call it the 3x5 card. I want you to write on a 3x5 card, "I want to." I, in quotation marks, that's the real me. I want to. And whatever it is you're going to do that day, I get to. I choose to. Now I put on mine my favorite statement. I will command, scroll number 9, I will command and I will obey my own command. Just before that statement, Og said, "I hunger for success, I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command, and I will obey my own command." Can you feel it? So you put down the bottom of the card. Put one on your nightstand. One in the bathroom, in the mirror. And, excuse me just one moment. I was able to spare those on the phone as I'm clearing my throat. Sorry, it's a little residual from my bronchial stuff. Put one on your car, one on your computer. But the most important one's on your nightstand. You wake up in the morning, we're going to go into mental creation. Our mind is going to be alive and alert. And we pick up that card and we start to read it. I want to, I get to, I choose to. I will command, I'll obey my own command. Can you almost feel it? This is really stupid. If you have to get on your bed and bounce like a child, make sure that before you leave your bed that you're in charge. Because way too often those sabotaging thought processes, "Oh, shut up, I didn't sleep well last night, I'm tired," that's all first person. It's just thought processes. And say, stop it. I'm going to have the best day of my life whether you want to or not, and take back charge of your life before you begin. Otherwise, you're going to slide right into that deep, dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. That's your choice. So a tomahawk, check your weather condition throughout the day, and put yourself in the driver's seat, and we're ready to go into mental rehearsal, the first of the 5 ways of using our mind constructively. Now, mental rehearsal is an interesting thing. mental rehearsal is just like fantasy, in that we vividly go someplace in our mind, something in the future, and we spend some time there. But instead of going there to escape, we're going there again to engage and embrace and create, connect and create value and to enrich the world. That's our intention. That's what's driving us. Not escape, not a sense of ease, but a desire to contribute. That's what's really driving us. And we go into the future, and as vividly as we visualize a Ferrari, we vividly visualize that experience. It's that simple. And no, you don't need to make this up, because you're inviting the force of creation, which you have every right to do, because your intention is to serve people and create value and enrich the world. You have every right to bring that force of creation to your visualization and ask for an inspired idea or an impression or a solution to a challenge. This is where Jack was when he got this million-dollar idea. He's all about service. I've shared some examples in the book. You'll have some fun with this. The most powerful story was Peter Vidmar's story. In 2009, Kevin invited me to come up to Deer Valley, to this beautiful home. And there were several other friends. Richard Paul Evans was there. Peter Vidmar was there. Stephen M. R. Covey was there. Some wonderful human beings all came together. Our agent, Mark McBride, Kevin's publisher, representative from the publisher, all there in this room talking about what could we do to promote Kevin's book. We came to serve, and every one of us got served. It was Peter's turn to present. Peter is 48 years old at the time. Now he's 50. Yeah, he's 50 years old now. Fit as a fiddle. Did a handstand on a folding chair. And then he told us the story. I'm sure he's told 100 times, but I would like to think we got a little special version that day. He shared with us that he prepared for the Olympics for 12 years. Many of you know he was a gold medal Olympian in the 1984 Olympics. Age 23. 12 years he prepared. I want to put this in perspective. They did all the floor exercises each day, 6 days a week. Always took off the Sabbath. Sunday, that was his Sabbath. He said he only remembers 30 other days during those 12 years that he took off. 30 days. Isn't that amazing? It's like 2 extra days a year. That's it. Then he would walk us through those exercises and he'd wear those hand guards, but by the time they got to the parallel bars, the last event, their blisters had popped. Their muscles were aching. They were exhausted 4 or 5 hours into a workout. Then he described mental rehearsal as powerful as I can imagine. He said he would turn to Tim and say, "Why are we here?" Tim knew. Tim would turn to Peter and say, "Why are we here?" Then he took us into what they were seeing in their mind. They were in the Olympics, the last event of the men's all-around. If they performed perfectly, they would beat the Republic of China for the first time since 1905. He said back then the javelin was part of the men's gymnastics. Kind of wild, huh? That was their mental rehearsal. They turned in their mind that practice gym into the Olympic venue. And then they took turns being the judge while the other performed. And they took turns back and forth until they had finished their routine a number of times. Emphasis. Emphasis. Never once did they let their vivid visualization, which they both had very vivid visualization, go 1 second beyond that event. one. That would have been fantasy. That's going into the future to event, assuming it's complete, and then beginning to imagine what life would be like after. You know, the Wheaties box, the speaking engagements, the ceremony itself, the gold medal, the roses, the flag being raised, the anthem being played, all those wonderful things that happened. I never went there. What discipline? All of their mental thought processes were about from where they stood right now to that event. That's it. They would practice, and then they would go home and do the same thing all over again the next day, year after year after year. In 1984, Olympics, Peter won a gold medal for the pommel horse, got a perfect 10. Got to the last event. And Tim went first, just like in practice. Did a perfect dismount. They're waiting for Tim's score. Crowd's going crazy. He got a 10. It's Peter's turn. His coach walked up to him and said, "Peter, do this just like you have done it 1,000 times in practice." And Peter looked at us and said, "Practice makes." And in unison, we all said, "Perfect." And he said, "Practice makes permanent." He said, "I did my routine, and with a perfect dismount, they won the gold medal." That's all history. Now, Peter got all those things. Got the gold medal, got the roses, flag was raised, anthem, no question. Got all the accolades. He's a member of the Speaker's Hall of Fame. Made millions and millions of dollars speaking. Still does his pommel horse return when he speaks. At least he did it. Was doing it 2 years ago. Incredible father, husband, faithful worker in his church, in his community. Just an all-around amazing human being. He has it all. But never once visualized that, but only the task. That's mental rehearsal at its finest. I want all of us this week to go into the future and pick an event that's coming up in the next week, something that's important. It might be a letter we need to write, or an email we need to respond to, or a meeting that we're going to hold, or a stack of leads that we're going to call, something. It might be a meeting that's going to be held we've invited people to come to. And we're anticipating what they're going to do when they come. And that's like the Olympics, and starting to anticipate what happens after the floor exercise. Our invitation is to do everything we can between here and there. And so go to your meeting, vividly visualize the people that are coming, and then focus on what you can do to ensure they actually show up. If it's an important meeting, reflect on what would be important for you to know or prepare for that meeting. And then bring those things. Just want to check and make sure that wasn't a message. This is mental rehearsal. We always want to go to the event and go beyond. But everything beyond is contingent on what happens at the meeting, which is contingent on who shows up. Let us stay focused, as Peter and Tim were, on doing the work of creation, so that which we've seen so clearly in our mind can actually come to fruition, and then we can focus on the next stage. This is mental rehearsal. So pick an event. Some again might say, "Am I making this up, David?" Well, the most powerful ones, I've got several in the book. I'm thinking of a client who called me and said, "Oh, David," sent me an email. I called him and he says, "I just had this amazing experience." He was trying to write an advertisement, and he went into his mind and began to visualize the person he wanted to have this advertisement speak to. Happened to be a man pacing the floor at 1 o'clock in the morning, but lost his job. Saw him vividly. He was crying, grown man. Wife came out to check on him. He kind of turned away so she wouldn't see his tears. promised to come to bed soon. Went to the computer, turned it on, went to Craigslist, was scanning the ads, and ran into my client's ad. Got excited. Then he kind of came to, and he said, whoa, what did that ad say? What did it say? So he started practicing another constructive way of thinking. It's called exploration. It's exploring possibilities without making tangible commitments. And he started to explore, which means he started to write the ad, and he would write it. This is before he makes a tangible commitment to place the ad. He's got his mind working, exploring this verbiage, exploring that verbiage, trying this. He tries and tries. None of them would ring the bell. None of them would cause that man to do what he saw him do. Until the last one. And that's it. That's what it needs to say. So I placed the ad. With 2 hours, I had 35 qualified leads. Just blew away every other previous ad campaign I'd ever done. That's mental rehearsing. And then exploring possibilities about how to create that. If our mind is tired of doing these kinds of things, we're not going to spend time on this dark dungeon. The third one's called inspiration. If you're new on the call, I want to share a story with you because it was very profound to me. I was sitting here at this desk coaching. And when we start the day with inspiration, we want to start with these words. If there's anyone I can serve. Everybody got that? If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them. Put them on my path and I will serve them. Well, if you start that day, that's where your mind is. Is there anyone I can serve? Put them on my path, and I'll serve them. This name kept popping up, kept popping up, kept popping up. Finally, afternoon, when I had a break long enough to have this kind of a conversation that I felt I would be having, I placed the call. Now, as you gain greater and greater confidence, you get away from fantasy and you're in constructive thought. And you know that you've invited the power of creation, the power of the universe, to be there with you, and you have put it out there. If there's anyone I can serve, I, in my uniqueness, with my unique experiences, put them on my path, and I will serve them. When you get an impression, you better darn well act on it. And the more you do, the more the impressions will come. Well, I did act. I called. How you doing? What do you think he said? Oh, I'm doing great! Now with confidence, because we know the source. Then why can't I get your name off my mind? And I waited. Entirely different voice came back on the line. Are you sure you want to know? I said, yes, I'm here to serve you. He shared with me a tale of woes. Every facet of his life was in chaos. Every facet. Ramona, who's sitting next to me, we went through the loss of everything that was physical. Paid a price of paying back that $1 million. She knows what that felt like. She now knows that things got really dark 2 years into that process. And I started to wonder if my life insurance policy was the solution to raising our 7 children. When he finished, remember intrinsic validation? Our empathy comes to the surface. We've listened and we understand. For them to know that we understand, we ask an empathetic question that confirms. Only needed one. How seriously are you considering suicide? I knew in that moment why I'd been prompted to call him. Because I'd asked the question. He wept. It's all I've been thinking about. That was the truth. We had the privilege of doing some work together and sometimes someone just needs to know. I often say in those moments, isn't it great that God knows your name? Isn't it great? I ask him who, and he said you. Isn't it interesting he knows your name? Maybe this week, let's go in the future and mentally rehearse. Let's explore possibilities without making tangible commitments. Let's seek inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And then, we'll problem solve. See, this part of our mind is obsessive and thinks dualistically, which means all, nothing, right, wrong, win, lose. It can't stop thinking till it solves the problem. That's why many of us who are obsessive thinkers also need to fix everybody, because we can see everything that's broken, right? Give your mind a problem to solve consciously and just turn it loose. Give it one that can be solved. Turn it loose. Next week, we're going to take on the fourth. The fourth one is goal setting. And this is an interesting one. I'm just going to open this one up, planning and goal setting. This isn't that, it says, we, me included, have all written New Year's resolutions, annual lists of things we need to do, want to stop doing, or promise to change. These interminable yet quickly disposable to-do lists have provided evergreen material for many a late-night comic. After all, the best humor generally comes from honest introspection. We're going to discover that much of what we think about is fantasy, and we're going to discover that dreaming is goal-setting, and goal-setting is dreaming. Dreaming with a meaning and purpose and a plan for the accomplishment, for the creation of it. And I'm going to walk you through step-by-step, in a little bit more detail than we ever have in the past, how to create a great business, how to be a great employee and get benefits from that, how to create a loving relationship and how to build one if you're in a relationship right now. How can we do these things? Applying these principles of mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving. How do we use these to get a very clear vision, a vision of our heart, James Allen calls it, and then the plan for execution, so that when we wake up in the morning, we know why we are here. We know why. And it may not be our favorite next task, but we'll do it anyway because it brings us closer to that. Our dreams will become targets instead of daily destinations. Our creativity will be focused on how to take this task and make it joyful and exciting, finding meaning and purpose in it, getting an inspired idea, impression, or a solution to a problem as it relates to that simple task, something that will ignite our passion, our willingness to do this, because we've seen this idea so clearly in our minds the next day, the next day, the next day, so that we just very naturally, sequentially, create our dreams in tangible reality. See the possibilities and the plan. Everything that's 1 millimeter ahead of today is still in the future. So we do spend time in the future, but very specifically targeted thought processes to assist us in the creation of the dream. It does little. Have a big fantasy. Again, all this manifests is norepinephrine-driven highs and cortisol-driven lows. You do one, you get the other. It's inevitable. That's what's manifest. Doing this properly, we'll get the inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that ignite our passion, passion that drives our action, our focus, and our discipline. And we create as fast as creation can occur, because we're not only doing it ourselves, we're in partnership with the very force of creation. This is a great way to be. So next week, come prepared, pen and paper, and we're going to take on goal setting. Now this week, I'd like you to study scroll number 6. Scroll number 6, I'll be the master of my emotions. It's all about controlling our thoughts. There'll be some days, Og says, when I must constantly struggle against forces that would tear me down. part of being in creation. Let us be brave, courageous. Let us take this on. And next week, let's begin the process of dreaming with meaning and purpose and a plan for accomplishing